Trav, are you ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to hope that Commissioner Perry and our other council lady joins us.
She's in the Grand Canyon.
Oh, that's right. She's on her big vacation. So, Trav, walk us through the recommendations. 1% money, what your thinking is. You guys are going to revert some money back. How the process can be improved. Everything. So the floor is yours.
Thank you, Commissioner Devani. I will lay it out all out on the table here. So I was the, voted the chairman of the 1% committee. I forgot my glasses at work. I ran back to get them. By the time I got back to the meeting, they said, "You're the chairman." So you guys are stuck with me this year. It was a good committee, a green committee, in that I want to say only me and Jimmy Gampietro were the only two tenured committee members. And so when I look at 1% requests, there's basically three buckets. So one are organizations that help drive sales tax. One is organizations that are stewards of county and city-owned assets. And then the third bucket I call socialist programs, feel-good programs, helping make our community more of a community with the services that they do. And so from my personal perspective, I like to weigh it more to those organizations that are stewards of county and city assets, and then organizations that drive the sales tax, and then the third is kind of the socialist programs. So with that said, I'll go into it. The first one is Buffalo Golf Course, and they had requested $30,000, and the committee allocated $20,000. So that was the first time in the 3 years I've been on the committee that the Buffalo Golf Course was cut. The committee's feedback was that they viewed golf as an elitist sport. I don't agree with that. I'm a golfer and I don't view myself in that category. But I think this organization, the Buffalo Golf Club, does good work. They're good stewards of the facility out there, and they also drive sales tax. So I hated to see that request get cut. And there is some money left over, so you guys can make your changes accordingly.
Travis, can you also tell us what their requests for? I know.
Oh yeah, so it's generally either for equipment or capital improvements to the course. You know, like. And this year it was for a debris sweeper for the greens and the fairways. Next one is a request for Johnson County Tourism Association to operate the visitor center. They asked for 20, looks like it was recommended 15, so a slight cut. This was kind of a transition. It used to be operated by the chamber, and we truly believe that the visitor center is a better fit for the Tourism Association to operate, because 100% they're dealing with tourists that are stopping by. And the one, Linda Greeno had asked about the JCTA's reserves, and all we were told is that they were quite healthy. And so I don't know if they truly need the money or not. But I did like the feedback that we got from JCTA and the direction they're going. And but do you think that it is a good fit for them to operate that center? The Child Development Center, this is actually a new request. We've never seen them come before 1% before. Thought that their request was reasonable and awarded it fully, $9,000. Buffalo Chamber, they requested $70,000, and I guess we're recommending $40,000. Obviously, several of you know the history of the Chamber and them reinventing themselves and then going back down to ground zero and trying to ramp back up and going back to ground zero. I don't know without this if the Chamber really truly is able to function or if they just have a website and nothing more. I did like what I heard them communicate, which is really scaling back what they're trying to do and focusing more on trying to help out the businesses, where I think the Chamber in the past became more of a quasi-tourism chamber than maybe the essential core values of the Chamber. So I guess everyone agreed to award them something to keep them in operations. They're going to have to revamp their budget based off of what their membership brings in, and if you guys award them this 1% money. Youth baseball, we recommended $20,000 of the $28,000 coming just from the city. And last year they had a request before 1% that we denied because it was more of a rec district app. It was for stuff like helmets and bats and jerseys and stuff. Where these dollars, we basically carved out any like operating expenses like chalk and stuff. And then also eliminated they wanted to do a chain link fence in the middle of Przemyski Park. And we recommended that they talk to the city before they go down that path, just because of the multi-use of Przemyski Park and what that might do to it. So, but the things that we funded were improvements, capital improvements to the sports field complex. Like something like the backstop needs to be replaced, the netting needs to be replaced, and some other stuff out there. So, again, you know, excited that there's an organization trying to be good stewards of a city-owned asset. So we wanted to support that. Boys and Girls Club, this is, I mean, you can tell the requests that are dialed in and then the requests that come that are just throwing a number on the wall hoping to get what they get. Every year, Boys and Girls Club asks for $40,000 apiece. And we recommend $20,000 from the city and the county apiece, so I guess this is kind of standard fare. From my perspective, the Boys and Girls Club had a free ride in the Barber Mountain Civic Center. They made a decision to step out and buy a facility, remodel it to the tune of whatever they did, but they are an essential organization in our community and do good things for those kids that participate in the program. Friends Feeding Friends. Again, this obviously is a request that was extremely dialed in, very minimal. Going to purchase some things to make their process a little bit easier. $1,300. That's what was asked. Family Crisis Center. They asked for 32,000, and this organization is, I guess, very near and dear to a lot of people in our community. And I've come to find out, sitting on this committee, every single year the committee wants to give them more money, and so on this one it looks like they added 3,000 more from the county. I don't like seeing that, because then you just see a continual step up every year. But that was the discussion there. The mentoring program, they asked for 30. We funded them at 20,000 from the city last year, and so that's what we did. Made the recommendation again this year. I think you could probably fund them unlimitedly, and it's just the more you fund them, the more services they can provide, or the more kids they can mentor. Bread of Life Food Pantry, we've never seen a request from them in the past. They asked for 5,000 apiece, and I guess we're recommending doing that. When I asked why, why this year, and I guess, as you know, with inflation and the cost of food, it's kind of drove up something like 32% last year, and so it is more expensive to operate their facility. Volunteers of America, this of course, as you remember, used to be Northeast Wyoming Mental Health. They've typically come to us year in and year out with a 1% request, and we recommended funding that fully from each entity. Compass, nothing really to say here. They do good work, but again, this is probably a number that's thrown against the wall. Every year they ask for 50, and I think we recommend 30 every year. Sheridan College, this is unique this year, because there was actually sufficient money, we felt, to allocate with the 1%. Where last year, I think the city did 165 and the county did 100,000. Where this year, the county did 200 and the city did 210. And this is a request, and I said this last year, that I would much rather see the county and the city direct more funding to JOCO, because it's kind of an in and out. It goes to the college, and then it comes back to the JOCO organization. I think last year I referred to it as a little smoke and mirrors. But this year the money was there, and I wholeheartedly 100% agree that we need to take care of Sheridan College. I just think it should be done through JOCO. We made a commitment, especially with the skilled nursing facility, to support Sheridan College. And hopefully their CNA program. I want to say Amy Holt nursing home is something like 50% occupied right now, simply because they can't get CNAs. I don't know about the skilled nursing facility, if they're up and fully staffed and fully occupied at this point or not. But
Trav, they haven't even had their final inspections yet.
Oh, okay. So they haven't got issued the certificate.
They're a long ways from
Kim.
But it's a very valid point.
Mm-hmm. So the money's there, and so we fully funded it this year. The YMCA, repairs and maintenance, they asked for $62,000, and it looks like only recommended $27,000. I think, like, for repairs and maintenance, was funded, but the bigger chunk of that was the custodial services. And I can't remember the committee discussion was like, we'll take care of the asset and the portion of the request that is to, you know, keep the maintenance up on the asset, but not the operation. But that's where that one landed, I guess. Children's Center, again, a very dialed in request for some building repairs. Have that is a city-owned asset, and one that I'm always, again, county and city assets, I'm always an advocate of keeping them up. Animal shelter, they ask every year for the spayed and neuter program and the vaccine program. The spayed and neuter program has always historically been funded, and the vaccine program has never been funded up until this year. But again, there was money available to do so. I was proud of this organization because in previous years they just, you know, put a number down what they wanted. And the committee really had no idea what their true expense was with the spayed and neuter program or the vaccine program. And they had those exact calculations as to last year what they spent on those two programs. And so they spent about $20,000 last year. And so that's what's being recommended for the spayed and neuter program. And they spent about $4,500 on the vaccine program. So it was recommended to fund those two programs at those levels. Johnson County Drug Court, this one was left open with no recommendation. In the 3 years I've been on the committee, the 1% committee's never recommended funding for the Johnson County Drug Court. Hookburn's passed. I was thinking that this was a county facility similar to the Jim Gatch, but it's not. It's a private nonprofit. But again, you don't see many requests coming from Southern Johnson County. You know, maybe every 5 years, I'll ask for a new CATS bus or CATS van or something. And so we're recommending helping them out with their building repairs that are needed here. Again, a very dialed in request with a bid or a proposal on that work being done. So recommending 100% funding. With that, I'll open it up for questions. Oh, I should say, so after all is said and done, you can see in the right hand corner there, there was still $11,000 remaining and from the city that's unallocated, and $32,000 from the county. So you either can, you know, revert that back into your 1% accounts or adjust these numbers accordingly.
Questions for Travis on the awards first, and then we'll move to mechanics of the committee.
Yeah, Travis, when you recall when you talked about the Buffalo Golf Course, about their user fees and the trend and how busy they are and stuff like that. When I was on that board for a couple of years, it seemed like it came up that, well, we wanted to keep our golfing rates low priced for attracting more people to come and golf or whatever. But I see an irony in us financing their cut rate golf course. And they advertised, as I recall, when we were talking about it, they actually advertise it, that they have the cheapest rates and green fees and stuff like that. Is anything like that happened or discussed in your committee?
Yes, Councilman, that is actually discussed every year, and what the golf board or club has indicated to us is that they have increased green fees slightly every year, and that they try to maintain a level with their green fees that is close to the public courses in Sheridan and Gillette. And so they kind of use that as a benchmark to try to, you know, I guess charge at or close to the market.
On that debris sweeper, was it is that a solid number that they gave you, or did they just kind of pull this out?
I think that they said that was kind of based off of some research for a well-used one. So it wouldn't be a new one. I don't think they have one identified, you know, but they feel like they can pick one up for 30.
I have a question. As you interview all of these, do any of them still do fundraising events?
You know,
I just see less and less of that.
Right. You know, that might be a good standard fair question to incorporate into the process. I would imagine, I guess from my knowledge, I'm sure that the Chamber, the Boys and Girls Club, the Sheridan College YMCA, Hoof Prints of the Past, all do some sort of fundraising activity or event, but the others I don't know.
I just say that because I remember when the food pantry has done fundraisers, it seems like they do get a good return on them. But, and then I wonder if, I mean, just food for thought, would we be more supportive to I don't know, have a weekend that all of these groups, we throw a festival and they all, I don't know, something, and they can all have a booth there selling their wares, or I don't know. I look at Longmire Days and the people that come around. Maybe we have a big fundraising festival and just try it and see what it has. Food for thought.
Yeah. First, a lot of these groups are continually funded. So, A, do you think that we should continue to provide operational support, or should the focus of the 1% committee be more on one-time expenses, special projects, things of that nature? And then second question, if we continue to see the same groups over and over again, is it that we're not reaching out to all of the entities in our community that provide services to let them know about the opportunity so that it, and yeah, we'd make more work for the committee, but is it, are we just funding stuff because they're the only ones that know how to ask, I guess, is the real question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ironically, there was the exact same number of requests this year as there was last year. And again, I think there was only one or two new ones this year, meaning that maybe one or two from last year must have dropped off. And I know that there was a big joint committee between the county and the city, I don't even know, 6-7 years ago to try to define 1% and provide some direction to the 1% committee on what what you will do and what you won't do and how you prioritize. And historically, my understanding of the 1% was always capital improvement projects, right? These, and try to stay away from operations. That whatever their activity is, they should be able to self-fund their operations. But these capital improvement projects or expenditures that is tough for them to save up for, that's what the 1% is for. Now, do I think that every single one of these organizations, if that becomes the case, is going to then, you know, change their application to say, okay, we're going to put the money doing this instead of operations, probably. But yeah, when we look through this year, I mean, there was an awful lot in the operations bucket on here, so. I don't know if that answers your question, Commissioner.
Other questions on the allocations, and then we'll switch gear to the process and see how we can fix it or improve it.
I have a question maybe for the commissioners. I know the committee wouldn't see a request from JOCO. I have not seen anything. I bring it up because Travis's comment that maybe you should spend more on JOCO and not fund these agencies where it just goes in a circle. You know, who's paying who? It's all the same bucket. But I haven't seen anything. Is there a question?
So we will look at JOCO's 1% funding request today. And I believe it is 60,000 or 70,000, which is kind of consistent what we have funded them over the last couple of years. I think one of the things that we're finally seeing is that we gave them the charge to become a little more self-sufficient based off their real estate portfolio in their facility, and I think they're doing that. So,
would you email their request?
Typically, does the city fund JOCO through severance tax, or how do you fund your portion of JOCO?
1%. I know that they want to be a regular general fund.
Everybody wants to be a general fund.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Travis, in terms of the process, do you feel that it worked well enough? You did the interviews over one day. Are there changes that need to be made to the application? Any side of the just the operational of doing the 1% process? Is it advertised long enough? What can we do to make it better?
Yeah, I mean, by trade, I'm a banker, and paperwork makes me happy. And the more information I have, and the more financial data I have on the organizations, the better. Multi-year historical financials and balance sheets. Where, a lot of these applications came in with no financial information. And I do think that that's important when you're, trying to decide the true need.
So if we added a request for between 1 and 3 years of their financials to the application process, do you think that would make it
I would say at least 2 years. P&Ls and balance sheets.
I think the fundraising question should be on.
Yep. Yeah, obviously it's a lot easier to help those that are trying to help himself, so I think that would be a good question to add.
Julie and Jody to put it on your mental ticklers or on your Outlook calendar. We typically look at this application in January before the committee starts their process. So if we can add notes that in January when you review this application to look at adding 2 years of financials that include the balance sheet and the P&L, and then a question about their outside fundraising.
Okay.
That sounds satisfactory, folks?
Yeah. Open on Jody. She's much better. Thank you.
All right, any last call for questions for Travis? Well, Travis, thank you. Next committee, please have a breakfast burrito before you take off or hang around, since I know how much you miss your time on the city council and city county breakfast.
I might take one of those burritos with me.
Thank you. It could be breakfast and lunch.
Right, this is two meals for sure.
All right, it is getting towards construction season, and we know how much everybody loves potholes. But we're hoping on the county side we can get an update from the city on the Main Street paving project, your project this summer to pave alleys, and also then we'll ask a couple selfish questions because we're trying to figure out budgets and timeline for fixing our portion of the retaining wall in front of the courthouse, and also at one point we actually had a tree box out there. Our previous facilities manager didn't like the type of tree that was in the tree box because it was a crabapple tree and it would put crabapples on the sidewalk, so he removed the tree and filled in the tree box. And if there's any potential for bringing our bringing our tree box back. So I yield to the city on what's going on.
Well, I think on the alleys, it's been put off the bid, the bid's been accepted, and I think it's just a matter of frost coming out of the ground and farming moving forward for the alley project.
So do you have a start date? Which side of the streets are they going to work first? Kind of, how's the project going to work?
I haven't seen any of that. I can only assume at this point that they would probably start on the longer side, I would assume, but that's only an assumption, which is the east side of Main Street, which is the worst side of the alley.
So I know that they'll probably have meetings, like a kickoff meeting, and we'll probably host it here and make sure everyone is invited. The last update we have is that we're waiting on the weather. Well, we've had one nice weekend now, so.
And last I heard, there's no definite start date, but I think once it starts, it's 90 days or something. They have a definite timeline for construction to complete it, so they want to wait to start when they can just go full speed and get it done quick and hopefully be done before midsummer and long winter days and stuff. It shouldn't take them that long, but I think it's all just servicing. There's no underground or craziness to...
Mm-hmm. That's what we thought on Fetterman too.
Yeah.
And then as far as Main Street, I haven't seen anything more. I have the opportunity. The 21st of this month, I'll be in Sheridan at City Hall for a multitude of reasons, one of them being their Main Street project and see how theirs is going. Seeing what hiccups they've encountered in there so far, so we can avoid them.
I didn't get an update.
You
want a Facebook update?
And they're on the radio every day.
People are mad about the potholes, and that this is where the city is starting on the repairs to tear up Main Street, which is YDOT, and yet they don't see the difference.
Mayor, at one point, I know, and Travis left, but I think he was part of the downtown Main Street committee, and there was some discussion as to whether or not we wanted to remove all the trees altogether or try to save the trees. I believe the committee was formed to try to reach out to that group to see.
Yes, and the tree board, I talked to the tree board, and then some of the members of the tree board have fallen ill. And so we're going to have to circle back. I know they were talking about different ways to plant different trees, and do you put some of that bunkers around them, maybe so that which don't grow the infrastructure, and what trees do you plant, and so they can mind-boggling arborist conversations.
Mm-hmm. Do we have an idea when the state needs to be notified of our plans for the sidewalk and things? I'm assuming we're going to have to need to make a decision on that sooner than later.
Okay, so we're not going to do anything with the sidewalks until that project's over. Mm-hmm. Because they haven't identified to us which ones they're doing, so it would be foolish for us to say, well, we'll pay for this, this, and this, when they're like, okay, go ahead. So we'll wait for them to get that. We started with, we went for some YDOT funding to do the sidewalks on Main Street, and they said, well, wait a minute, which ones are you going to do? We said we didn't know, which ones are you going to do? So they advised us to wait. What we do have to decide is what we're going to do about the trees. And then all of this stuff goes into the bid. So as far as your project goes, I think you're going to have to wait until after.
So 2025, 2026 would be your recommendation?
I think so. If you want to see, let them play their hand. As we get closer, maybe they will have identified it, and we could say, hey, we want to put a tree right in the middle there. Because you sure don't want them to come in and repave what...
Yeah.
Or then you tear that.
Or the counter-replace the portions of the wall that are leaning to match the joint project that the city and county did a couple years ago, and then have them rip it out. Okay. So for our purposes, I'll probably, in our capital facilities, push that project out to like 2026.
Then we will have more meetings with YDOT starting in the fall. Right now, they are very distracted with the Sheridan project. But I will make sure that they are well aware of that it would be included, or you'll wait, but... you'd like to get it done. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else on Main Street or the Alba project?
Just other than I can't recall it done.
You and probably every small business in town.
We did sweep, in case you hadn't noticed.
Good. All right. Want to just kind of run through interim topics that may touch in city or county business. So, Commissioner Shelley, for your benefit, the legislature gets close to being done. The committees look at things that they want to work on in the interim, which then will make some of the bills that get introduced next year in the budget session. So that's kind of where it's worked. So, bring your attention to priority two for the judiciary. One of the things they're going to look at is controlled substances and revisions of the substance types. Obviously, we're all aware of the fentanyl issues that's impacting our community. I think kudos to our local law enforcement working together between the sheriff's office, the PD, and also then Wyoming Department of Criminal Investigation and Wyoming Highway Department keeping some dangerous things out of our communities. Certainly, if you have thoughts on that, please visit with the chief. We'll visit with the sheriff as they work through their associations to share their thoughts as judiciary looks at that. Appropriations, their number one priority is going to be pensions, unemployment insurance, and workers' compensation. Obviously, very, very important to all of us as big employers. I want to highlight on the state retirement side, you'll remember that in this year's budget, the governor, using ARPA funds, covered the increase to keep the fund solvent, to keep that off of the fund participants. Remember that it's not just city or county employees or law enforcement. Members of your volunteer fire departments are allowed to participate in state pension for them. Members of the search and rescue, based off of the number of calls they can go on, there's a small retirement that they can participate in, as well as volunteer EMTs who do not work for commercial services. There is a retirement benefit for them. So that's going to be appropriations. If you look over at revenue, and I look at our good friend, the former chairman of revenue over there, priority two, which we all know is going to be property taxes, priority three, sales tax, and then priority four is tax administration. You know, before you talk about the elephant in the room, which is the property tax increase that every property owner in the county is about to receive from the assessor here in the next couple of weeks. Let's just talk tax administration for a second and remember that those taxes are generated here. They get shipped to Cheyenne, and the state of Wyoming immediately lops off 1% of the amount of money that is collected for administration. So that's your money that gets taken and goes into the nebulous of bureaucracies. I do think that we need to be present to talk about sales tax. Obviously, it's very, very important for the city. It's also very, very important for the county and our overall budget. And, you know, I don't know how many times WAM and the WCCA have presented ideas to the revenue committee, and those usually go over flat. And I'm going to look at our good chairman over there, and I don't think that that's going to change this interim.
No, I don't think there's not going to be anything real substantial with changing the structure and the administration taxes, because we're soaking with money right now. We've saved what, 1.4, 1.5 million more than a normal year. So that's going to, you know, call the shots, I think. But there will be something done on residential property taxes, you know, whether it be to separate out. You know, there's a lot of controversy on that, and I don't know whether we, you know, as a municipality, can't have much to say so about it. But you've got, prevailing argument now is let's separate residential as a separate class of property, with the ultimate result being that it'll have a lower assessment ratio than the other. I suppose agriculture will be with them too, but those two will be isolated off, and then commercial will probably have no change. But I don't think their commercial taxes went up so much this year, do they?
You know, Councilman, I have not had a chance to look at the abstract of the assessor. I do know I've seen the residential numbers. I've seen the numbers for ag property, and also the state assessed side, which is the mineral production, which is going to be the largest increase in the valuation of the county on that oil and gas bentonite. Gravel, every type of mineral that goes into that figure. But I have not had a chance to see what the commercial and industrial side of that looks like.
Yeah, I guess I haven't looked at it either, but that will be a, you know, the big argument is, you know, if it's really worth bringing up, but the argument is that the homeowners are the ones that are squealing the loudest, and I guess that's true, and therefore we need to treat them separately. But historically, them being in the same class as commercial over, what, 20 years, 15, no more than 20 years at least, you know, it's going to be hard to change, I think. But I guess we'll see. It's going to be a contentious type argument. By the way, do you know from talking to your assessor what happened to residential property values in this county? I mean, on an average aggregated basis.
So the number that Steve showed me yesterday, which I think will be in the bulletin this week, was over a 30% increase.
30? Okay, that's important because we're working on budgets now. and we put the same number in for property taxes for our expectation is what we had last year, knowing that it was going to be too low, but now we know how much too low it will be.
Well, and I guess, Mike, again, the caveat with that is that that number was based on the entire county, so you may have some neighborhood groupings that are driving that growth more than others that maybe don't necessarily fall within the city limits, so you may not see the full increase of that. But I do know he warned me that the neighborhood that I live in is going to get hit especially hard because of residential sales there. Yes, so the 36% that it went up last year wasn't enough. Let's give it another.
Well, okay.
Moving over to Ag Committee, their number one priority is water issues, which we've all been talking about a lot. They're going to look more at the compacts and the agreements that Wyoming's going to remember. We were under a call from Montana not that long ago that impacts us up here. And they're also going to look at national forest management plans. The Bighorn National Forest Plan, I believe, was last updated in 2005. They're going to look at all of the plans across the state. So that impacts us. Travel, recreation, and wildlife bring your attention to their third priority. You'll remember that they created an outdoor recreation and tourism trust fund. They put the corpus together, but they didn't write any of the rules and regulations so on how that money could be spent. So certainly I will watch that because as a travel and tourism county, we want to make sure that those dollars can be spent here on projects that we have, whether it's operations of visitor centers or tourism impacts when you have things like the Bass Festival, Longmire Weekend, and the Solar Eclipse all in the span of a month, and just the impacts that those have. So that will be one that we're going to want to watch. The Corporations Committee, their second priority is elections. Again, lots of discussion about elections. And just remember, there have been a couple ideas that floated of doing jungle primaries for certain things, including municipal, so you guys aren't immune from that. Labor health, their number one priority is emergency medical services, which would be EMS and firefighters. In talking to our fire warden yesterday, Fire One typically has 30 volunteer firefighters. They're looking at about 24. KC is struggling to recruit volunteers, and I'm sure City Fire is in the same boat. So they're going to be looking at ways to try to encourage people to want to be a volunteer fireman, a volunteer EMT. And so, but their most important one for us is actually priority number two, long-term care and nursing homes. Obviously, as Travis mentioned, you have Amy Holt that is running below capacity because of an issue of being able to find nurses and CNAs. I learned on Saturday that the Veterans Home lost a nurse to Sheridan because the state wasn't willing to pay her what the state would pay for a traveling nurse, which seems a little counterintuitive to me. So I think whether we look at what we do here to help Sheridan College and the private nursing facilities in the community to create CNAs and other opportunities. Again, is it workforce housing that is causing our biggest problem there? So we're going to want to watch labor health in that second priority. Beyond that, there really isn't a lot of other stuff that touches the nexus of city or county. So we don't have an interim committee here. And I don't think it's necessarily that our senator or our representative didn't try to get one here. Biggest thing I think now is the facilities requirements for the ability to stream those meetings and whether or not we're set up, whether it's at Bottle Mountain or other facilities in the community. Remember, for a long time, every fall we would get the revenue committee here for 2 days, which is a great boon to our local economy, but a lot of private facilities now aren't willing to put in the investment of the IT infrastructure to host those meetings. So it's not that we don't want to get them here, it's just that we don't have a place to host the meetings that is set up to do it. So any questions on the interim work that the legislature is going to start this month? Over actually a charity.
Shame on us.
All right, it's not on your agenda, but typically this would be the point where we hear from members. So, Chris Rochelle, anything on your agenda?
Nope, I'm good.
What's in that?
I'm good.
Okay, thank you.
Square.
May 10th starts the judges' conference for municipal courts. Buffalo is the host city, so there will be about 50 to 60 judges in the park running around town for a few days.
So. Don't be judgmental of them.
Yeah.
We'll have to thank Judge Hupie for getting those folks here. That's great. I don't have anything.
Nothing for me.
Jody?
May 17th through the 20th is the cleanup days.
Which what?
The cleanup days at the tree dumping at the landfill.
And when is hazardous waste? Do you know that?
I don't know.
I emailed that out last week or the week before. So we go back to your emails.
It was first week of June or something.
It's always on a Saturday. They are going to do it at the landfill again because that seems to work better than the fairgrounds. But that date is in your emails.
Okay. We should just come up with those at the same time because everybody, once you say that this one's going on, they say, but when's that one? Yeah. So.
All right, we'll trust that the vouchers are on the right color paper to keep the treasurer happy. And
lavender this year. Lavender.
Okay. All right. I don't have on here the next date for city county meeting. That I believe is hosted by the city. Do we know what date that is?
May 16th.
All right. Well, for those of you who are dainty and didn't want to eat during the meeting, please help yourself to a breakfast burrito.
That's okay.
Thank you all for being here and have a good meeting tonight.
Thank you.